it's good to have him, his wife, and Hannah, Lucy, and Gavin with us this morning. If you have not met them yet, make sure you do before they leave. But at this time, I would like Brother Landau to come. And can we just honor the Lord one more time as he comes?
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. You are awesome. Amen. Amen. You may be seated for a moment. So thankful for the opportunity to be here. So thankful for everything that God is doing in the islands of the Caribbean. I'm thankful that he has called us to be a part of what he's doing there, specifically right now in Puerto Rico. We are so honored to be a part of what God is doing there. And to anyone that speaks Spanish, Dios le bendiga. Es bueno estar aquí con ustedes. Que el Señor le bendiga mucho. Amén. Amén. Yo puedo hacer el, yo puedo predicar en español si quieren. I can preach in Spanish if you'd like. Hallelujah. We do bilingual service in our church there in Mayagüez, Puerto Rico, but it does get distracting for those that don't have not heard it before. It's going back and forth. It's not fun for some people, but it is good to be here. Thank you, Brother Carpenter. Thank you for having us. It's so good to be with you all. We are missionaries working primarily in the island of Puerto Rico, but also appointed to Trinidad and Tobago. It's been a journey to get to where we are today, to working in Mayagüez, Puerto Rico, the city where God has called us to be right now. It started off in 2008 as far as me and my wife, when we first went to the islands of the Caribbean as AIM workers, associates in missions. And we were there for 3 years working in Trinidad and Tobago. And we felt a burden for the people there. We saw the need for everything. And so we applied to become missionaries full-time so we could go and work more effectively. And it took a while to raise our support. But after raising our support, we could not get into Trinidad and Tobago. And so we've not been able to live there full-time since we were fully appointed as missionaries. It was frustrating. It was very frustrating at first. When we couldn't get in. We had gone to Puerto Rico for a year, believing we were going to make it into Trinidad. And after that year, we even went back to the States. I don't want to let this slip, but you might have seen my license plate. We based out of Michigan, so I apologize. I asked in the office, I asked your pastor if I should just leave. my wife is from Michigan. I don't know what, I didn't hear what you said, but I'm probably good. Thanks. you know, it's like, can anything good come out of Michigan? Out of Nazareth. Well, Jesus came out of Nazareth and my wife came out of Michigan. Obviously there's rivalries and all that kind of stuff, but, God is good. Amen. We went as missionaries thinking we were going to make it we went back to Michigan thinking we were going to ship our stuff, because we had not taken, when we went that 1 year to Puerto Rico, we didn't take all of our stuff, because the intent was to get to Trinidad, so we had rented a furnished place, we didn't have much going on there, but we were going to ship all of our stuff that we had acquired over the years of marriage, down to Trinidad, and it didn't happen. It didn't work out. They used to give us a 3-year permit to go in when we were AIM workers, when we were working there just temporarily. We could get a 3-year permit, and then now that we're fully funded, we could only go in 3 months at a time, and we'd have to leave. And it doesn't work very well when you have a family, when, you know, flying back and forth gets really expensive, just fast. And God, talking to our pastor, we decided to go back to Puerto Rico. And God began to work in our lives and work in our hearts. And by the time we finished the first term, our missionary term in Puerto Rico, after those 4 years of being there, we were praying and seeking God for what we should do, where we should go. And God put on our hearts the town of Mayagüez, Puerto Rico, and he really put it in my mind and in our hearts to go to Mayagüez and start a church, and if we would do that, God would begin to do some mighty things. I really believe that's what he told me. I believe that's what's going to happen. I really felt, one time in prayer, I saw the map of Puerto Rico in my mind, and I saw arrows of revival, arrows of righteousness, and arrows of just God doing great things, coming out of Mayagüez, bouncing across towards the eastern side, and then coming back. And I really believe that God's going to do something great. And we began to see that. We have begun to see that, but we're just at the beginning phases of that. We were there for 4 years. The first year of that time, my wife got sick. We went through a lot of different things. We actually, unfortunately, had to go back up to Michigan for a short time for medical leave. And then we came back, and by the time we had almost finished our first year, because of COVID restrictions, because of the health situation, because of so many different things, because the COVID situation went on in Puerto Rico till 2022. They were just restricted to, ridiculously. People wouldn't come to our house. We were trying to start a church in our house. People wouldn't go to, they wouldn't let us in their homes for Bible studies. We couldn't do anything. And so we prayed and said, God, we need a building. We need a building we can rent, that we can get into, that we can start trying to have something where people can come, because they would go to businesses, they would go to churches. And as we prayed and sought God for these things, we came across this lady. And this lady, my parents had seen her a month before. They had met her and prayed for her. My parents were still missionaries at that time, and they were actually helping us a little bit. They were in a different part of Puerto Rico, but they would come over and help us every now and then. And they had prayed for her because she was sick. And she came up to us and said, hey, do you remember me? You prayed for me, and I got healed. We serve an awesome God. Amen. He's still doing mighty works. And so she says, what are you all doing here? She's a very eccentric lady. So she went from telling the testimony of her being healed to say, what are you doing? And I don't know how to explain how it happened, but it was funny. And we said, well, we're looking for a building. Because we were going that day, walking every street of that town, looking for anything that was for rent. Everywhere we had seen for rent, we had called, and they either the price was so high, or they wouldn't rent to us because we were going to be a church. And we said, well, we're looking for a building to rent. She says, well, I don't know about anything like that, but I do know a man that has this building that was a church. He tried to have a church there, and he's selling it. And so we went and walked, and it was just like 4 minutes away from where we were standing at that moment, walked over there, saw the building, and she says, well, I can take you to his house, and we can go, see him. We just saw the outside of the building. We walked over to his house, and he's like, well, I'll get the keys, and we'll come and look at it. We went over there. We saw it. And we began to pray and had a time of prayer in the building, had a time of prayer outside the building. And we felt the presence of God, and we felt that this is what we're supposed to do. And I was talking to my dad, and I said, what should we do? Because I had never done this as far as buying a building or anything like that. He'd done it many times. And he says, let's offer him $50,000. And so we offered him $50,000, and the guy said, okay, let's shake hands on this. And then I asked my dad after, I was like, do we have the $50,000? He said, no, we don't. And, God can do much more than $50,000. But when you just said you're gonna buy something for $50,000 and you don't have it, it does seem insurmountable sometimes. But within less than a month and a half, we had the funds. Churches had come together to help us raise the money, and we were able to purchase that building and begin to have service early the next year. And God began to do wonderful things. And you can go through the rest of the pictures, and you see that God is just that's the building. Now, it might not look like a lot. It is not a lot. It's only about the size of, if you squared off this pulpit, or platform, sorry, squared off this pulpit, it's not this small. It's a little bigger than this. You can go to the next picture, sister. You can sort of see the inside. There. Low ceilings. It does have a second floor where we do have classrooms and stuff. But God has done wonderful things there. And there's still We've had a lot of trials and situations since we left for deputation, since we left to do our fundraising. But God has, we have core leadership there that are doing great. And I'm so thankful for everything God has done. You can just go through the rest of the picture, sister. God is awesome. He's amazing. And I'm so thankful that he's allowed us to be a part of what he's doing there. And I'm believing for great things. I'm believing that there's going to be a great revival in Puerto Rico and that we're going to see people changed and transformed. We're going to see lives that today are not in the going the right direction, transformed and changed. And I pray that, I ask if you could take our bookmarks out there, pray for us. We'll be in prayer for you. I do want my wife to come and just for a moment testify, if possible, if our son will let her go. He's a good kid. I love my kids. We have Hannah, Lucy, and Gavin. They are troopers. They don't want to be on the road like we are right now, but they're good kids, and I love them. I love my wife.
Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning, and I got to tell you, wow, I'm going to get emotional. Such great hospitality here. You guys are so kind and made us feel so welcome from the moment we came. And I'm just so blessed to be a part of God's work. I was sharing with some people today, but I actually don't speak Spanish yet. So I've been there for 10 years. And that can feel kind of like, obviously, my husband, he's there, he's preaching in Spanish and things like that, but sometimes I would say, God, what do you want me to do? You know, what's my purpose here? And I do learn the songs in Spanish, and I sing in Spanish and all of that, but I'm like, I want to connect with people, I want to reach a soul. And each time, I was reflecting about this, our first term, we lived in a town called Ponce, and I saw a lady in a Walmart there, and she was American, but she was buying things that it looked like she's not a tourist. Like, you wouldn't buy that to then have to put in your suitcase and take back. And so I asked her, I was like, do you live around here? And she did, and her husband was in the Coast Guard, and we started having Bible studies with them weekly. They never came to our church or anything like that, but we were able to do like a midweek family Bible study, their family and our family. And we come to find out that his grandma is UPC in the States. And so there's no such thing as coincidences, right? It's kind of like that question from this morning for the little short time I was in the adult Bible school, the adult Bible study. But it's like, I don't know what's going to come of that. And so sometimes we just do a little bit, and we don't see the full thing come to pass. And I just continue to pray for that family. They ended up moving to another area because they're in the Coast Guard, so they keep going. But then this time, this last 4 years, our girls go to a bilingual school so that they can learn Spanish, but also have English, you know, feel a little bit of comfort there. But I was at a birthday party, and one of the moms came up to me and introduced herself. She spoke perfect English, and in the middle of the conversation, she just said, I'm on my journey to God. We weren't talking about God, so I was like, oh, okay. And then before we were about to leave the party, I was like, would you want to get together and have coffee and just do like a ladies' Bible study kind of thing? And she was like, I've never done that before. And I'm like, oh, okay, like, but she was like, I'm interested. She's like, but I'm Catholic. And I'm like, okay, that's okay. That's okay. And so anyway, we had a couple Bible studies, and then she's like, can I invite one of my friends? She also speaks English. And so she invited her. She's Seventh-day Adventist. So we kind of laugh because we're very close. We are still doing this Bible study online since I left. But we laugh because we're like a Pentecostal, Seventh-day Adventist, and a Catholic. But, like, it's an interesting combination. But the Word of God is the Word of God, and that's what we're studying. We have this beautiful, I remember saying to them at one point, I was like, I feel like we have a good spirit I feel here. that we can ask questions without someone getting offended. And so I'm learning a lot about how they think and what they think. And when something comes up and I say, you know, I don't believe in the Trinity. I believe there's one God. And so they don't totally feel what I'm feeling at this point, but we have that relationship where we can discuss it and we're studying the Word of God together. So I just would ask you to be in prayer for me during these Bible studies, but also, it's Lucy, our little daughter right here. It's her friend's mom, and they want to start a girls' Bible club, so for their age. And so us moms in this Bible study, working with the girls, and then my oldest daughter, Hannah, she's going to be kind of helping them. So that's kind of what my focus is when we get back. I don't know what this is going to look like. I don't know if this is going to them coming to the church, but that's not what we're supposed to do, right? We're supposed to just lead people to Jesus. And so I don't know. Lord, help me. but I'm thankful because no matter what, I could be like, I don't speak Spanish. I'm just sitting here not doing, you know what I'm saying? But God led me to people that I could help, I could minister to. And I believe that God has a purpose for us wherever we are, no matter what it looks like. And so there's actually at General Conference at a ladies' breakfast, someone made this comment that when you're younger, you look to the future. You're always living in the future. I want to do this when I'm older. I want to do this and that. And your plans and your dreams. And when you're older, you look in the past and thinking about all the things that you did when you were younger. And then when you're middle-aged, you just look tired, right? So I'm like, that's true. That's true. But I thought about that and how we've heard it before, but to live in the now. To live in the moment that we're at right now, because God has a purpose for us in every single season and every single moment. Maybe it's not what it used to be. Maybe it's not what you're going to do. But right now you're here. You guys are all here, right here in this town. And God has something for you to do here. And I just pray that you would pray, God, what do you want me to do? And I'm telling you, like, you're just going to meet random people like that, like in Walmart or at a birthday party. And just pray for boldness. I used to think that boldness meant kind of loud. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I'm not loud like that. But I don't think that's what it is. I think it's that you just don't even, I didn't even second guess myself. I was just like, do you want to have a Bible study? Like, it just came out of me without any fear. And just pray that God would allow you to do that. And so I just want to thank you so much for having us today. And I just am excited to see when we come back again, what God has been doing here in this town. God bless you all.
Hallelujah. God is good, amen. And I do believe, I believe we're going to see great things in Mayagüez, Puerto Rico, and all of Puerto Rico, in Trinidad and Tobago as well. We don't work much in Trinidad and Tobago. We make some trips here and there. But we do definitely love what's going on, and we're thankful. Right now, the missionaries to Haiti, because of all the problems in Haiti, all the crime and all that, cannot be in Haiti. So they're in Trinidad. They're able to make trips in and out because that's sort of what they did anyway in Haiti. And so their situation has caused them to be able to help the work that we love so much. And, you know, it's God knows what he's doing. There's a lot of things going on in our lives that we don't understand, but there is a purpose. There is a purpose. God has a purpose for each of us. God has a call for each of us. You know, the call of God is not something so mystical and far out there that it's not attainable. But the call of God is also not something that is just to be taken lightly. I really believe that God has a call for each of us. The call of God is not something that is always permanent. It could be just for a moment. It could be just for a day to go somewhere, to talk to somebody, to do that thing that he asked you to do. It could be to go to some far foreign land and stay there for the rest of your life. The call of God is different in each instance. But I do believe God has a call for you. When we went to Mayagüez, we didn't have our son, but he was born there. He started growing up there. And we were helping in another area, a town called Aguadilla. We would go there all the time. And as he began to speak, he began to say the word Aguadilla, the name of the town, Aguadilla, all the time. He would say it so often that I started getting a little annoyed. Imagine if one of you all worked in Michigan and you had to go there and you're saying, I'm going to Michigan to your son, and all he would ever say is, Michigan, Michigan, Michigan. We have a guy in our home church up in Michigan that loves Ohio State, so it's always fun. So we got one of you, brother. It's just the opposite. You're both in the wrong space. Maybe we'll swap them out. I'm just kidding. But, you know, you would say, hey, come on, say Ohio. But you don't say, you know, if you're coming home, you say, I'm going home. We would always say we're going home. We wouldn't say Mayagüez. So one day I told Gavin, I said, Gavin, can you say Mayagüez? And he looks at me and says, yours Agüez. Because he thought I said my Agüez. I said, no, say Mayagüez. He said, Dada's Agüez? And it was so cute. It's so sad he doesn't say it anymore. But as we were preparing to start the fundraising in July, I was praying and I was thinking, and this came to my mind, this story, this reminder of what happened. And I was like, it is Mayagüez. I'm not claiming it as no one else can come there and do something for God. It's not Mayagüez exclusively. But as far as our call, my call, where God has called us right now, it is Mayagüez. And I believe you have your Agüez. You have your call. You have the place that God has called you to do something. God has a call for me. He has a call for you. And I want to just speak on it for a couple minutes right now. If you go to the book of Acts chapter 16, and I did not give anybody my scriptures, so Acts 16, 6 through 10, the word of the Lord speaks of Paul and Silas. Specifically, if you know what's going on here, Paul and Barnabas had gone out as missionaries. God had called them out. It said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for a work. And they went out and they did the work. They went to Cyprus, then they went to other places in the area. They came back and they testified in Antioch of the great things God had done. And a little bit later, they said, let's do this again. Paul and Barnabas had a little bit of a disagreement. Barnabas had, wanted this guy that had sort of abandoned them to come back with them, and he didn't like that. Paul didn't. And Paul said, well, I'll take Silas and go a different way. You go over there, I'll go over here. And they could start going, and they find people, they get together, and things are happening. But then they're continuing to do the work of God. They're continuing to try to fulfill the call that they felt in their life, the call that had happened maybe a year or two ago. And that's where we find them here in verse 6. It says, now, Paul and I had switched to the NLT. I don't know what translation we got up there. Okay. No, I just was using what was in the Bible study this morning, the Sunday school, and, oh, well, I'm in the King James now. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia, it's about to get there, and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they came to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. I don't know if you see what's going on here. They're trying to do God's will. They're going off of the fact that he had called them to do something. But in this moment, they don't have specific word from God of where to go. And they keep going where he doesn't want them to go for some reason. First, they're forbidden to go to Asia. And then the second one, he doesn't forbid them. It says he suffered them not. It's a little different than forbid. It's more like, I really don't want you to go there. And they said, okay. Listen, we need to listen to God when he tells us not to do something. We're looking for God to tell us what to do. But if he tells us not to do something, that is what to do. Right. Not to do that. verse 8. And they passed by Mysia. They came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathered that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Let's just pray that God will help us to receive his word. Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for everything that you are doing. I pray that you will just lead us and guide us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to hear your word. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, and thank you again, Brother Carpenter. Thank you for having us. Thank you for everything. When we think about Paul and Silas here in this moment, we find them attempting to do the will of God. And there are times when we're trying to do the will of God, we don't have a specific thing or task that we're supposed to be doing at that moment. It's more of a broad spectrum thing of what we're supposed to be doing. We find, and in fact, there's a lot of times in life, I believe the majority of our life, where we don't have a thing that God says, do this, exactly this today, go here, go talk to this person, go do this or that. That's not how it is most of the days of our life. I believe it can be that some days. I believe God has somebody specifically for you to talk to someday. I believe that there is someone he will put in your life and he will let you know, hey, you need to talk to this person. You need to do something here. But when we're not in those moments, we are still called to do many things. First and foremost, we're called to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. We're called to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are called to love others. In fact, the Bible says if you can't love others, you don't love God. Because if you can't love someone you can see, how are you going to claim that you love someone you cannot see? The Bible says that we're called to repent and believe the gospel. We're called to be baptized. We're called to live holy lives. We're called to make disciples. We're called to pray continually. We're called to read and obey God's word. We're called to be not just filled once with the Spirit, but to stay filled with the Spirit. We're called to serve others, to give. We're called to forgive. I don't think we'd like either of those. If it has the word give in it, we just don't like it sometimes. Not always. You know, if you've been blessed, that you that changes. But it can be difficult sometimes. And it's not just money that we're talking about, time and energy and, you know, just patience. That's giving something, giving time. We're called to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We are called. I don't know where you think you're supposed to be today. Maybe you don't know exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Maybe you're saying, I've been praying to know what I'm called to do. Do these things. Start here. Make sure you are faithful in the things that you are called to do, that all of us are called to do. And I'm telling you, God will give you something to do. Paul and Silas were trying to do God's will. They wanted to do something. Paul probably was saying, let's go to Ephesus. Ephesus is this, it's the big city. It's the place where everything was happening. It was somewhere that they had not preached the gospel yet. And he's like, let's go to Ephesus. I think that's probably what he said. Because when you think about Asia and you look at the place, Ephesus was the place that he was probably trying to get to. And God specifically said, no. Not just, I don't want you to. He said, I forbid you to go there. He does make it there eventually. So that forbiddenness, I don't know, was not permanent. But for that moment, he was not allowed to go there. And then he tries to go other places. He does go for a couple places. And then he tries to go somewhere else. And God says, no, I really don't want you going here right now. And this is not just happening. You know, you read these verses. It's very easy to read verses and think time is like they were like, I'm going here, I'm going there. No, this is not how it happened. They're walking. They're walking for days toward Asia, and God says no. And they turn around and walk somewhere else a little bit, and the guy says, I don't want you going there either. And in my opinion, they said, all right, let's just start praying. It doesn't say this here, but I think they might have started saying, God, can you please tell us where? And God did tell him. He gave him a vision. He gave him a vision to Paul, a vision of a man that was in desperate need. He said, come over and help us. And so they go to that region, the region of Macedonia, and they get to Macedonia, to the town of Philippi, which is in Macedonia. And as they get there, you know what they find? They don't find a man. In fact, they don't find any man at first. It's a very interesting how it happens. It seems that there must not have been a synagogue there or something, because it usually Paul would go to the synagogue. He would go to the places where the Jews would meet and try to start to convert them and then reach out from there. But it doesn't say any of that. It shows that he went down by the river and he found ladies praying, because he must have been looking for someone that was not, you know, involved in what was going on in that town. And he found these ladies, and God begins to work in these ladies. Again, when we get the call of God, when God does call us, it doesn't mean that everything that is going to happen is going to be exactly outlined, and we're going to see how it's going to happen. You know, God called Joseph to save his people. God called Joseph to be the savior of the lineage of the Messiah. He called him to save the children of Abraham and Isaac. But Joseph didn't know. He saw the end. He saw the good part. He saw the brothers and father bowing down to him. He saw the place that he was going to get to. He didn't see the trials and the things he was going to have to go through to get there. But when he gets to the end, he says, God meant this for good. See, we have to realize that that verse about God working together things for the good, it's there. We have that. Joseph didn't even have that verse. We have that verse, but it does mean sometimes we're going to go through things. When we are called, we're going to face situations. We're going to face setbacks. We're going to face things that don't seem like it's taking us towards the goal that God has for us. But God has a purpose. If we will remain faithful, if we will love God, if we will love others, if we will give and forgive, if we will have patience, if we will do those things, if we will remain in the Word of God and remain in prayer and remain coming together, God will do something. Sometimes the enemy will come after you. Sometimes things will happen. You know, Paul and Silas were trying, and they continued to try. And all of a sudden, this young lady, this young girl that was demon-possessed, that's a slave, comes after them and starts harassing them. And Paul cast out the demon. And then trouble comes. You know, Paul and Silas could have said, well, we are Roman citizens. You have to have a trial before you beat us. But they knew that God was doing something. They knew that God was doing something. Because and how do I know that? Because you find them in the middle of the night singing and praising God, worshiping God. They knew God's about to do something. The enemy's after us. It hasn't worked out yet. But God said somebody needs help. Somebody needs something. God's going to do something. And they're there worshiping. And they're there praising. Not worrying about the problem going on right now. Because they knew they were called. I'll tell you, it's not always been easy. This last 4 years has been the most difficult of our life. But I know that God has called us to be in Mayagüez, Puerto Rico. I know there's things that have gone on that you could look back and say, really? You know, it would have been a lot easier to be in Michigan or Ohio. My family's from Indiana, so I don't know how bad you all hate them. But God has a plan. And when we find what happens when the chains fall off, I don't know if you know the story, but Paul and Silas were praising. They were singing unto God, and the chains fall off their hands, and the doors of the prison open, and all of a sudden, they're walking out. Paul's the first one walking out, and he sees a man. He sees a man in desperate need, a man about to commit suicide, a man, the jailer, who thinks life is over. The prisoners have escaped. Listen, I believe that's the man in the vision. The man is saying, come help us. This didn't happen overnight. This man must have been seeking and saying, I need help. I need something. I need someone. And God sent Paul and Silas. Paul, he said, you can't go to Ephesus because you'll stay there too long. You can't go over here because I got a man that needs you today. Listen, if we stay faithful, if we continue trying to do God's will and to do the things he's called us to do, God will give us a task. He will give us someone. And this is just not that man that has changed. The Bible says him and his household are saved that very night. They all got baptized that night. God did a wonderful thing. And it was because Paul and Silas were obedient and faithful and remained faithful. Ananias, I don't know if you know the story of Ananias. There's not much about him. There's three Ananias in the New Testament, but the last one we find is the good one. First two were bad guys. Well, it got progressively better. But Ananias was a man that was faithful, praying and seeking God. And when God came to him and said, I've got a task for you. I've got someone I need you to go pray for. I have someone I need you to go baptize. I have someone, and he says, wait a second, you're talking about Saul? He's the one that's come, he's on his way to get us. And God's like, no, he's not. He's already here. He's already in town. But I want you to go pray for him. I want you to go baptize him. I want you to pray that he'll receive the Holy Ghost. You know, it's not wrong, in my opinion. This is my opinion, and I believe it's right, but that's how we all are, I think. I don't think it's wrong to say, God, are you sure? I don't understand. What are you doing? I don't think it's wrong. But when God responds and says yes, that's when it becomes wrong if you're not listening. You know, if Jonah would have said, God, do you really want to do this? Do you really want me to go preach to Nineveh? Are you sure that's where you want me to go? That would have been fine. It was the getting on the boat to Tarsus that was the wrong thing. Ananias, I don't think he had an understanding. God said, I've shown him the things he's going to suffer. He told Ananias, I've shown Paul the thing he's going to suffer. But I don't think Ananias understood that. That maybe appeased him a little bit. Oh, he's going to suffer. All right. He didn't know the impact that Paul would have. We don't know the impact of one thing that we do for God. One small little thing that he asks us to do can have on the kingdom of God, that can have on eternity. You don't know the impact. It could be much greater than you could ever imagine. I'm telling you, let's stay faithful. God has a call for you. I know for me and my family, it's my Aguez. I don't know what your Aguez is. I don't know what your call is today. I don't know where God has you. But for now, as my wife said, it's you're right here. Do something here. Talk to your neighbor. Talk to someone around you. And don't be weary in well-doing. Just because it hasn't happened yet. Just because it hasn't come to fruition. Just because it just seems like it didn't work. You know, Paul and Silas, they were forbidden to go to a place they wanted to go. That doesn't mean that you won't get there eventually. You read the book of Acts. He loved Ephesus. He stayed there for a long time. He loved the leaders of Ephesus. He didn't get there on this trip because God had someone for him to get to before that. Why don't we stand? I believe that we serve a God that has a call for each of us. First and foremost, called to love him, to love others, to read his word, to stay in prayer, to do those things that we see clearly in the Bible that we're all called to do. But I truly believe that God wants to use you. That God wants to help you be part of what he's doing here. That God wants to use you for his glory, for his honor. That you can make an impact on eternity. Let's pray. Jesus, Lord, I pray for everybody that is here. Lord, you see every individual. You see the things that they do, the things that they're trying to do. You see the things that they've tried to do and did not seem to come to fruition, or there wasn't the fruit that they thought it would be. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help them. I pray that you would give them, Lord, patience. I pray that you would help them. Lord, just like the farmer that plants and has to wait to see the thing come up, I pray that we would have patience and wait for you to work. I pray, Lord, though, that we would not give up, that we would plant, that we would go out, that we would be willing, Lord Jesus, to do something for you, that we'd remain faithful. And I know, God, you're going to give us somebody. You're going to put someone in our path. You're going to make something happen. You're going to allow us to impact someone's life. We're going to see something happen. I know that you're going to call us to do something for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I don't know what you have in your mind or what you feel that God has for you, but whatever it is, whether it's something that's happening right now, something in the future, or you have no clue at all, I ask that you would just take a moment and seek God right now and believe that he can help you to fulfill something, that he'll give you a call and that you'll make an impact. Let's just take a moment. Let's just close our eyes and let's just seek God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus. Help us, Lord. Jesus. Help us not to give up. Help us to believe.
If you're here today, and I know that there are those who are here today that this touches, but you have a desire, and I'm not saying you're asking the Lord, call me into ministry or call me to a foreign country, but Lord, I want to be used by you. I want to be called by you, because we all are called to be used by him. But in that desire, if you've not known how to start, you've felt fear, you've felt unsure about it, this is the Lord telling you today, that desire, he will answer it, he will fulfill it, and he will do it in your life. I don't know if you caught, but he basically took everything I've said over the last 4 or 5 weeks and 100 sermons and 800 minutes, and he wrapped it up in about 22 minutes worth of time. But the Lord is drawing upon us for such a time as this, for this season, to do his work right now. And I want us to pray one more time before we dismiss. And matter of fact, if you bow your head and close your eyes, if you've struggled with this, your desire to do a work for God, to find the will and purpose for your life in his kingdom, and your hunger and desires there, but fear the unknown way to even start to do it, would you just lift up your hand to the Lord, letting him know, Father, I desire this because I want to work for you. And now let's just ask him, Lord, as I remain faithful in doing those things I know to do, Lord, begin to open those doors of opportunity. Give me those moments of boldness that I don't even realize that I need them. Lord, I pray right now. You've been directing our lives. You've been navigating us and moving us and calling upon us. Lord, you see the desire. You see the hunger for those who are just, they're looking for a way to be used in your kingdom. Lord, I pray that you would answer their prayer this morning. Lord, that as they remain faithful to the things that you've already called them to, Jesus, I pray right now in your name, Lord, that you would release open doors, that you would let boldness settle upon their minds and upon their hearts and upon their spirits to do the work, to do the call that you have placed on their life where they are with those they are around. Lord, we need you to help us as we move into the work that you've called each and every one of us to do. And Father, we are so thankful for the man of God that you sent to us this morning. To Lord, I believe, set in our hearts a fresh desire, a fresh hunger, and a fresh direction on what you would have us to do. Lord, we love you today. We worship you, and we praise you. Jesus, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You see it all around. You see it. I mean, just everywhere. I just saw there was a bunch of surveys and polls. They took all of the data, and there have been several news reports about this, about the revival in America that's taking place. You just see it in the simple things, and this is where they're seeing it. It's the underlying data. But Bible apps have been downloaded twice as much in the last 2 years as they have in the previous 10. Spotify, for all of you Spotifyers, Christian music on Spotify is up by 50%, people finding playlists. The Bible is being sold at double the rate that it was just a few years ago. All that to say, there are people that are hungry. They are looking for what we have. And the Lord is the one that's stirring that in people's hearts. And while he's stirring in their hearts, like he was the Philippian jailer, that is saying, Lord, will you send someone to me? He's calling on our hearts. And this is what the man of God just said this morning. We are the Paul and Silas's, about ready to go to find those Philippian jailers. So let's just do it with an expectation that he's gone before us and that he's sending us. Man, can I get an amen? Which means, so be it. So Lord, so be it today. Let us walk in what you have called us to do. Brother, thank you so much. Very timely. Just kind of a nice bow. Now we can move on to something new here. Lord, I love you so much. I do. You are just incredible. You are wonderful. Lord, I thank you for your hand upon us. I thank you for sending the man of God to speak to our hearts. And Lord, once again, I ask that you would go with us. Lord, don't just go with us from this place as we wait to gather again next week. But Lord, let us go in the calling that you have placed on our lives. And we prayed in your precious name. And again, everybody said, amen. Amen. You are dismissed in the fear of the Lord. And please make sure and spend some time greeting our missionaries today.